Been meditating, studying the discipleship from Bible. So today is this week before going to priority of disciple making. Just it's kind of recollecting or recapturing what we studied last week. It's about the gigantic word called disciple. So the definitions that we studied all from our Lord Jesus Christ, all the five verses last week, what we studied directly from his lips. All the five, like first one, if you take the one who continues in the word of God, who abides in the word of God, and then who takes his or her cross daily and following him, and then who loves other as Jesus loved. And the fourth one is who bears much fruit. The fifth one is who is fully trying to be like his master. So those are all five definitions from our Lord Jesus Christ, what he had given to his disciples. And then part of today's session, we will be studying priority of disciple making. Week one, we covered introduction to discipleship making. This week, priority of disciple making. Lord willing, next and following 2 weeks, process of disciple making or procedures of various disciple making methods. And then the final one is power of disciple making. We are in the second week. And then apart from the definitions that our Lord he had given to us, to the disciples, especially immediate disciples, there are three important commandments that he had given to immediate disciples. That is nothing but from Mark 1:17, following him when Peter, Andrew, they were fishing in the Galilee, the area. He went there, and when our Lord Jesus asked them to follow, immediately they left all the nets and then they followed him. And then he went to the John and James, son of Zebedee's, even they followed him. So one of the important commands, apart from the greatest command, that is nothing but loving our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That is the greatest and first commandment. And then the second, we know, love our neighbors like how we love ourselves. That is the second one. Apart from those two, these three are very, very important, following him. And then the other one is learning from him. Matthew 11, 28, 29, it says, "Who are all heavy laden, come to me, I will give you rest." And then he says, "Learn from me," directly from Jesus, from our Lord Jesus Christ. So those two are personal discipleship related. It's internal, the internal spiritual growth. Whereas the third one, going and making disciples from the Matthew 28, 19 and 20th verses, go and make disciples. Thoroughly, we will be checking each word, what Bible is saying. We will be studying that today's session. So before going to the scripture portion, I would like to pray and then start today's session. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving this Lord opportunity, time to come to you and learn from you, Lord. Lord, give us the grace to learn from your word, Father, Lord, especially the mandate on the Great Commission, Father, that you had given to my immediate disciples, and then which is passed to us, Father. Lord, give us the obedience to follow it and show obedience to it and glorify your name, Father, as this in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had pointed them. And then the following 17 words, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 18th words, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Scripture portion from the KJV I have taken. Some of the versions in KJV In the 19th verse, especially if you take, it will not mention he there. Even I was referring my mother tongue Telugu Bible. It says it's a plural. Go he therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is the first half of the Great Commission. The second one is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So these two are single commandment, but two different halves. So before the priority here, our Lord Jesus, why he made it priority, high priority one is nothing but post-resurrection. This is the first time asking the disciples, taking the appointment, asking them to come to Galilee. So that was communicated by the angel there. So he's giving appointment. Something appointment means there is something serious. That's why the seriousness after going there only, they will come to know. The disciples, it's a small appointment, but they show the obedience to that, whatever the order it has been given to them. Post-resurrection appearance through prior appointment in Galilee, which is away from the Jerusalem, 75 miles. Normally, an average person, he can walk. Now we have all sorts of vehicles, but they used to go on donkeys or on foot. So, and an average, they can walk only 25 miles, but this is a three-day journey to Galilee. So, to the mountaintop of Galilee, they took 3 days, all the 11 disciples, they went there, whatever they instructed to do that, they went there because something was very important or Lord wanted to communicate there. Those 11 disciples, they were very faithful. So, that's why they went there after walking for 3 days. So they were faithful in little things. The Bible says, whoever faithful in little things, they will be made ruler over far greater things. So there, what happened in Galilee on the mountaintop is nothing but he had given the instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ. He given the Great Commission there. So Galilee is a place, it was for the people, all the 11 people there, entire globe. He kept in front of them and see, giving the accountability or the responsibility to go all over the world, starting from Jerusalem, Samaria, and then to all the uttermost parts of the world. So it's kind of a ripple effect. Initially, they'll be going one by one, but they show obedience. The responsibility or accountability that God has given to all these 11 people, they accepted it. So this is the priority of disciple making. Immediately it starts. The Great Commission, it's immediate and there is no change in that. And then the two important points what we can learn from Matthew 28, especially from 18, 19, 20, there are only 2 points we'll be studying today. That is nothing but assurance behind the Great Commission and then assignment within the commission. Assurance, if you take all authority in the 28th chapter, 18th verse, our Lord says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It is really a very surprising and astonishing statement from our risen Lord. Nobody in the history never ever mentioned like this that they had given the authority on the earth and in heaven. So he's nothing but no doubt. He's no more ordinary Nazarene carpenter, not the ordinary person. He's the risen Christ. From the death, right, he has risen and then giving these instructions. Come and listen, whatever he's saying like that, all to the 11 disciples. He's the Lord of the universe who had complete control. He's on the throne, complete control in the celestial realm, the celestial authority, and also in the terrestrial area, complete authority. For the authority, we all know in Mark 4, 41, it says, when the raging storm, it was there, with a single word, with a gesture of hand, he's stopping the storm there. And the disciples, they says, who is this? Even the wind and waves, they were obeying to him. So there, the authority we can see over the nature, how he is, how he was controlling the nature. And then not only the control, command, or authority over the nature, even in the human conscience, whatever you are thinking, you can easily, because he is God, you can easily sense it. When the woman who was suffering 12 years with the problem of flow of blood, immediately traced out, and the moment when she touched the hem of the garment, immediately she got healed from the 12 years disease. So he knows, and then he asked, her faith only made her healed. And then Luke 19:19, Zacchaeus, he desires to see the Lord Jesus when he was coming to that area, Jericho. So there he sensed it and he stopped there and then asked him to come down from the sycamore tree. So he can sense it. He has a complete authority even on our human conscience. Not only that, even on the unseen world, unseen spiritual world, from the Luke 8:26, there was a person, human, devil, demon-possessed person, legion. So when he went to the Gadareans, that is the area, Gadara, so where he went there, you know, he was suffering and possessed with multiple, many devils, legions of devils. There, right, when he was suffering with that, he delivered him from that. He had the complete control and authority over the unseen world, which we cannot see that. Because since he is God, he can do that. He's the Son of Man and also Son of God, same time. So here, not only that, not only authority over the spiritual world, even so many diseases, whoever, multitudes followed our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here and during the earthly ministry, during that pandemic, whoever approached him, whoever came to him to see, everyone got healed, especially whoever having all these infirmities, disease. Lame started walking, blind started seeing, so many things. And then even he brought life to dead people, Lazarus and all, if you see, right? He got complete authority over the human diseases or infirmities. And also, not only that, he had the while talking also, very authoritatively he speaks. When Jesus had finished this about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7 chapters, when he had finished all these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching and saying, he had taught with authority, not like scribes, but we can see the authoritative power of our Lord Jesus Christ there. But Matthew 28, 18, whatever he was saying, all authority given to me in heaven and on earth, that authority is not that authority. This is different. Because he is no more a Nazarene carpenter. He's the risen Lord. He's no more Jesus. He is Lord Jesus. The authority what he had, if you see Romans 1:4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This morning we studied during worship for his Philippians 2:5-9, and also Hebrews 5:7, where we can see the greatest humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being God, he was equal. He did not steal that. He did not think that is a robbery to be equal with God. He came down and taken the likeness of man. He humbled himself. He showed obedience to the death, or death on the cross. So that greatest humiliation, if you take the next verse, in the 8th and 9th verse, there we can see the greatest exaltation. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, everything, all tongues should confess that he is the Lord, and also every knee should bow at the name of Jesus Christ. So God has perfected him, he greatly exalted our Lord Jesus Christ. That authority, the resurrecting power, the resurrection from the dead, he is talking about that authority that on earth and also in heaven have that authority. This is to 11 disciples. He's saying that. So Bible says whatever our Lord had, right, Father had, that is also ours because we are co-heirs. So we can keep that, no need to down with, because he is not directly giving that, but we have to think that whatever he had, all that is ours. So with that assurance of authority, is giving to the next one, assignment. If you go to the next point, important point about assignment within commission, God had given, our Lord Jesus had given the marching orders here, the commanding brief orders. So whatever the marching orders he had given, nothing but it's a mandate to soul winning and also missions. But it is more than that, soul winning. So it is going and making disciples, not only winning and bringing the souls to Christ, it's about making them and disciples and then bringing them to the Christ-likeness. So there is fivefold account of the Great Commission, not only in the Matthew 28 chapter. If you go to whatever mentioned in the Matthew 28, that is our basis for the today's session. However, there is one more fold in the Mark 16:15. Go into the world, all the world, and preach gospel to every creature. And also in Luke account 24:47, it says, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in John's account, it says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Not only that, These are the Acts 1:28, our Lord Jesus Christ's last words. Says, you shall receive, and then he ascended to heaven. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of. All these fivefolds are part of the Great Commission, but exclusively today's session we will be studying from the Matthew 28, 18 to 19. So if you take the Great Commission, it comprises of seven different divisional parts. Each word I just classified into different areas, which is mandate from our Lord Jesus Christ. Employ all available. It's nothing but it's a plural word. He therefore go into all nations. It is the employing of all available personnel. That is the first part. Enter into the field. Go. But I just put as enter the field and then enlarge our vision. It's not only to our area, to all. It's a global impact, global vision. And then evangelize the prospects, nothing but making people disciples. Enlist the evangelist. It's nothing but baptizing them once they are made disciples. And then baptizing them, after that educating and edifying them, the enlisted, whoever baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Expect the person, the disciple, part of the disciple making, made she or he to what? With assurance, lo, I am with you always, even today. One each part we will be taking in today's session and meditating. First one is employ all available personnel. Here for the first 200 years, first century Christians, they did very well. So that's why we are not able to compete with them. So first 200 years, it was very, very serious. And all employed who were there in Jerusalem or in the Antioch church, early Christians, they were very, very serious and they know what to do and what. They know the marching orders from our Lord Jesus Christ. They were daily new souls, new Christians, they are being added to the Jerusalem's church because they used to daily gather in the house to house and then doing all the apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping, breaking bread, prayers. Not only that, every believer there in the Jerusalem church, they used to go out and tell whatever the good news they have about our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. But if you compare with our current church, unemployment is more because it's just we follow come and go policy. Simply we come and go. But the early Christians said they did not do that. Whatever they did, they go and teach. They go on giving the gospel, preaching the gospel to the Jerusalem people or Antioch people. So unemployment is more comparatively with the typical church. I'm speaking about the typical church here. And then whoever employed, they are underemployed, not to the up to the mark. And then some churches, if you take some typical churches, they're overworked. Overworked means they're very, very busy with a lot of other things, with the religious activities or ministry works. But the main divine assigned job, what God had given, the marching order, somehow they forgot or I don't know, ignorant. But it's overworked but underemployed, not focusing on the marching orders. If it's just an example, it's not about the preaching of the gospel. How the Bethlehem shepherds, they shared the good news in Bethlehem. After the angel, when she appeared and given all the good news to them, immediately they went to the place, they worshipped him. Whatever they saw with their eyes, immediately they went and told to all the people in the Bethlehem. Because that is the good news, birth of our Lord Jesus Christ that time. So they saw with their eyes, whatever heard from the angel, immediately they went and told all the people in Jerusalem. Everyone, they did that. Just an example, it's not about the preaching of the gospel, how they were employed. So when you compare with the early Christians, we are really, I'm sorry to say that, they are unemployed or underemployed or overworking in some other areas. So the next part is go. Luke 21, when our Lord Jesus Christ, he sent 72 disciples, two he sent together, two. He told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out the workers into his harvest field. A field is nothing but the world. He sent into them in the world, two like that. So field is the world and local church, wherever we are, that is the world to take it the marching orders. And then by penetrating, by talking with them, by mingling with them. I just want to give the illustrations here about the light. Light, if it is not dispelling the darkness, it's useless. Same thing with the salt. We are not adding the curry or the potatoes or the salad. It It is useless. It is alone. It must be connected with the salad or curries. Then it adds the extra taste. It gives the original taste. And then the keys are useless if you are not keeping inside the lock and unlocking or locking it. You separate, it is useless. And one more, bread. If the eater is not eating the bread, even that is useless. And then water. If you are not drinking and if it is not taking out our thirstiness, water also useless. These are all just some of the examples how Christians, they must be useful. So I just thought of giving that one. Next, Christians are expected. All the believers in the church, in the typical church, they are expected to go to the world, go to the area wherever they are and penetrate, mingle, and then we want to put into the work. Just wanted to encourage here. We were in Austin before moving to Dallas. We were in Austin and I used to call them because I have a few Christian friends, very good, fine Christians. I asked them, hey, what do you do during the weekends? Okay, Monday to Friday you are working. What do you do during the Saturday and Sunday? Sunday means, okay, they go and worship our Lord on Sundays. But Saturday, they say, so full of monotony and boredom. We really don't know what to do. And then I just encourage them, why don't you take the gospel tract and go to parks or the apartments? By God's grace, they've shown obedience to the Great Commission and they started doing that. I'm really glad for that. They started penetrating the local area wherever they are. And then enlarge our vision. So it's to all nations. It's a ripple effect wherever we are, not only the Lewis area. Slowly we have to go to developed area. Once that is done, so next areas. So it is a global vision. God, what he had is, he desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of Son. So everyone he wanted, he did not want anyone to perish. He wanted everyone to come to his presence. That is expectation. The vision is very large here. So I wanted to highlight what Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book, The Miracle of God, what he has written is, I would not hesitate to say that finally there is no more thorough test of your individual profession of faith and our attitude toward the missionary enterprise of the church. Please listen to it. I might add to the words of the spiritual giant that the missionary enterprise of the church is not merely the dispatching of specially burdened believers to distant foreign countries, begins each believer's heart and is carried out by each believer, becoming a world-conscious, world-consumed, world-visionary disciple of Jesus Christ and building other world-visionary, world-impacting, reproducing disciples. This is what Dr. Lloyd says. So yes, we support. When typical churches, they support missionaries, they send missionaries, support missions. But apart from that, wherever we are, yes, we have the evangelistic teams, we have the missionaries. But apart from that, as a responsibility person, that responsibility, you need not to be fully talkative or eloquent in your talk. Wherever you are there, I just requesting, urging in the name of Christ, just to take 3 people for the first 6 months, that is in the house area, in your neighborhood or in your office, wherever you are, just to take 3 people and save souls. Pray for them. Give the gospel tract. Start the conversation. I used to tell in my office, what made you to be so good? Why are you helping me? I used to glorify our Lord because of my God. So that is the reason. And then you can start the conversation with them. So penetration, without penetrating Christians, I'm sorry to say, they are useless for his kingdom's expansion. You can take that one as challenge here. So the vision here is very large. All nations, and the goal is here to turn men into people. Turning men into disciples. Not only that, it's a world-impacting mission. Our goal must be inform and impact the entire world, to the ends of the earth, until the end of the world or the end of time. Next, if you take the next word, evangelize the prospects, it is nothing but making disciples on Christ terms and then strategy. We check the 5 definitions, how powerful they are, denying ourselves and taking the cross daily and following. It's not an easy task, but God helps us. He will give the grace to do that. Not only that, the issue is not about the converts, but it is about disciples. Are we ensuring after we given the gospel tracts, or once they started coming to church, are we ensuring whether they are turned into disciples? That is our responsibility. our Bible teachers responsibility, or the church responsibility to make sure they are completely converted into disciples, not merely converts. And also, it's about fully about like how our Jesus Christ, he prepared the immediate disciples, 11 disciples, how he had the strategy, what he followed, the disciplines, what he followed, process he had given to the immediate disciples. And then he told them to do the same thing to their disciples. To take John the Apostle, he was very in the inner circle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he went and he trained. We can see all Polycarp and all there, his disciples. The way how our Lord Jesus Christ trained, same strategies they applied, literally they followed. Whatever Father God, he had told our Lord Jesus Christ, he literally did. He followed and he did the will of God. So similarly, how he followed and how he did the will of God, the disciples, immediate disciples, also we, because we got that from them, we taken the charge, the mission, the marching orders. We supposed to do literally whatever our Lord Jesus Christ had told. That is about evangelism prospects, not only leaving them as converts, but we have to ensure, because just bringing them to the, just starting of the race, but we have to ensure how they are growing, whether spiritually they are, spiritual men, parenting. And then enlist the evangelist, baptizing them. Baptizing is nothing but once we ensure they are following all the commandments, whatever Jesus taught. So next is nothing but baptizing. It's nothing but identification with the Christ. That's everything, whatever their lifestyle earlier, their past lifestyle, all the sins we have put into death, previously the way how they lived and all after baptism, right? A lot of people, we are testifying, we are standing as ambassadors of Christ. So many people will be watching us. So we have to be careful, and the transformation must be visible. So it is nothing but the symbolical example, the death, burial, and resurrection. Just identification with the Christ. That is nothing but baptizing, enlisting the evangelist people. And then main important thing is educating and edifying the enlisted by teaching. Teaching them to observe all the things, even the single command, even the least commandment, right? We have to ensure. I just want to highlight about Daniel here. Eating the food, right? So we take it as very, very, very light, but he was very serious. In front of him, there are a lot of foods, but he's not supposed to take. So he was rejecting all those things because he was very, very serious about the commandment. Single commandment also, in the gates of grass, definitely we can follow and show obedience. So ongoing, unceasing, uninterrupted, and then continual activity. And also we have the repository of Christian teachings. We have so many very good Bible teachers. We have a lot of messages. So we have the archives. If you go to our ELBC, elbiblechapel.org, there are so many archives from the past few years. So I'll thank you for the everything for that. So if we go and visit all the old messages and all, that will edify us and grow into his likeness. And then expecting him to work. The assurance here is, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the words, the accompanying signs and all. Signs may be varying, but the gospel is same. It is not changing. It is same. So here, I wanted to give one more example here. Bible says, I am with you always, even to the world. There is a great assurance what we have. So earlier I was zero. I just want to tell what happened. Like not last Saturday, previous last Saturday, one of our brother Robin just forget to add one. He just added one zero to the address. So it led him to somewhere else, not to the spot what we planned to meet. So what happened after he came back? He said, I added just zero, and then he took me somewhere else. That made me to come late. But here at zero, if you are placing in the right position, it brings the validity. We are with Christ. If we are positioned with Christ, we are very, very valuable, and also we are very powerful. Because Bible says, I am with you always. It is not in the right position, the zero is zero only. It is with the right position with the Christ, brings the high validity of that. Bible says he is Emmanuel God. He is always with us. God indwells in our heart, Holy Spirit God indwells in us. If you want to see the God's presence, go and see while they are doing the making the disciples or doing the gospel tracts, because God is with them. That is assurance. You can see God in work there. Also, we are working there. No need to fear, because expertise with us. If any problem, he will jump in and do something for us. Even if he's not saving, he's our God. We should have that kind of humbleness, obedience to him. So if you want to really see the God's presence, go and see the gospel tract, acting or process of disciple making. There we can see the power of God. So yeah, these points I just want to highlight. I'm trying to take a few more minutes. I would like to take complete this session. The conclusion here is, I just put here the, it's a Zerubbabel temple. It's nothing but Herod renovated temple. It's the same temple. What he did is Herod the Great. He just added some parts here. So he extended the parts here and built additional things here. But the temple here, it shows whatever Zerubbabel, the governor of that time in the 516 before Christ, he built that for. So if you go to Haggai, John Samuel uncle, he taken few months back this session. This part is encouragement to do the Lord's work here. Haggai, first chapter 4 is saying, it's time for yourself to delve in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins. People, they brought back to Jerusalem and then they were there for 16 years without doing anything. They are very busy with their priorities by building their grand homes, paneled house. They're very busy because their priorities are very, very different and they're busy. And also one more thing is fear from the opposition from the local residents. They fear to them. They could not do. Why they brought back to Jerusalem from the exile from Babylon means to build the God's house. But they are doing something else. 1:6 Haggai, it says, they sown so much and bring little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And you earn wages to put into bag with holes. You start earning 200K, 300K if it is having the hole. And if you have the outgoings, always it will be 0-1 because they did not show the obedience. The purpose they brought here is to build the God's temple there. So what happens in Haggai 2:4, Lord appeared to the prophet Haggai and he says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel is the governor. Says the Lord, "Be strong, Joshua." Joshua is the high priest, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, "and be strong, all you people of the land," says the Lord, "and work. I am with you," says the Lord, Lord of hosts. And then we saw that glorious temple, what they built, which is more glorious than the Solomon-built temple because the Lord Jesus himself came inside the temple during the first century and he walked and he also there, he spoke with a lot of people there, the Pharisees, scribes, and all the local residents there. It's a more glorious temple than that. Now, if you see right, we are no way different from the 560 Israelites. Absolutely. We are busy with our priorities. We are really with our work and taking care of kids, and do you name whatever it is. No difference. Absolutely, we are like Shimon. But what they built right after the Haggai's prophetic message, immediately they shown obedience, and then they built the glorious temple. So here, we supposed to get build the spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5, it says, being built in a spiritual house, we are all living stones. We are supposed to build the disciples here. So when we build right, they become the spiritual houses there. So here, we have to think, are we really showing obedience to the God Great Commission or it's a great omission. So this is just we need to ponder ourselves and think whether we are like the Israelites during the 516 time or we are the active Christians. Otherwise, as I mentioned, light, heat, and then water, salt, right, will become useless for the Christ. Summary is here. The Great Commission was never given for the studying the things. It is plan of action. Remember always the assurance because he said he is with us always. That is a great assurance. If he is with us, the one who is inside us is mightier than the one outside. And then remember the assignment. We easily will forget the things, but we have the assignment marching orders. No need to go to different countries. Here itself, we come to North Dallas area. It's known temple area. There's a plenty of work, plenty of harvest is there. So next week, Lord willing, we will see the process of discipling. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving these marching orders to Father. Lord, give us the heart and mind, Lord, to show obedience to you. As we are departing from here, Father, help us to reflect all your countenance. Lord, help us to show love, kindness, compassion towards other people, Lord, even to our own brothers and sisters here, Lord. Lord, give such kind of heart for us, Father. Lord, bring us back here, Father. Please, we come back here, Lord. Keep your presence and excel in your area, whatever the assigned work you've given to us, Father. Show obedience to you, Father. Lord, praying for all the people, God, here, every brother and every sister, every child, Lord. Bless them abundantly. You know their material needs, Father. Give them the needs and then also their spiritual needs, Father, to become like you, Father. Lord, bless them abundantly and Lord, do whatever you asked us to do, Father. Do such kind of intentions, desire to work for your kingdom's expansion, Father. I ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.